Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson, and this is a big one. I mean, every show is important, but some shows are a little more important than others, and this one is one of them. This is our six-year anniversary show, and when we launched this show 6 years ago this week, we sat in a meeting and talked about how I really wanted to do like a local version of Real Time with Bill Maher. We made our set sort of look like Real Time with Bill Maher. We found a similar song that we could afford that wasn't his song, but sounded kind of like his song. We created a show that had the spirit of Bill Maher, and it's our own show with our own thing, but a sort of his spirit of doing things a little edgier, having interesting, smart conversations, bringing on people from both sides, and being willing to cut through the BS and get to the truth. That's what we try to do, and that's what he's done so well for decades on TV. Since we started, we've asked for him to come on over and over and over again. And this week, our friends at LA Magazine helped make that dream a reality. They were hosting an event for their cover boy this month at the Woods in WeHo, which is a marijuana dispensary and also lounge in the heart of Santa Monica Boulevard. And Bill Maher is one of the co-owners with Woody Harrelson. And that's where we met him, as LA Magazine was hosting a party to celebrate him. So we talk about the Woods. We talk about his new book, which is coming out. We talk about his podcast, Club Random. We talk about, of course, Real Time with Bill Maher. We talk about California, some of his favorites. It was a really special interview. And of course, it came in the middle of this crazy week of college protests at both USC and UCLA. So here, without any further ado, is the host of Real Time, Bill Maher. Bill Maher,
hi.
Welcome to The Issue Is, and thank you for having us here. This is such an incredible spot.
That's one of the things I've been trying to sell. You know, Woody Harrelson bought this place. And he wanted John McEnroe and I involved. You know, he said, you guys smoke pot with me and there's a space for you. And so we threw in, and we've yet to see money because this place is run by stoners. But people should know, it is, I mean, look, just wouldn't you like to smoke pot in this room?
It's unbelievable.
It has all these little bungalows. It's a pot store with a kind of a jungle in the background.
Right.
And all these areas where you can go up, and I mean, there's fish, there's vegetation. It really is a great place if you want to, you know, get high at the store.
It feels like an oasis in the middle
really
of West
is.
Hollywood,
in the middle
which is
of
really cool.
Santa Monica Boulevard,
which is wild. And congrats as well on the cover of LA Magazine,
Thank
and congrats
you.
On the book,
Thank
which
you.
Is what this comedian said will shock you.
Yes,
and it's a combination of your commentaries at the end of
Correct.
Real Time with Bill Maher.
Yes, for years people have been telling me I should put these together in a book, and they were right. I resisted, but they were right, and I was wrong. And it does make a really good book. I would say it's an encyclopedia of every damn good thing I've said in the last 20 years. I went through everything. I took out the best. I put them in chapters that made sense. And you can read it like the Bible every night. Put it by
exactly.
your bed, read it like the Bible. There's something on every subject.
What did, as you went through that process and looked at everything
right.
over the years, what did you learn about us as a country, and what did you learn about you in terms of your evolution?
Well, that's an interesting, good question, because that is one of the impetuses I had for doing the book. I wanted to know, did the country change, or did I change, or both? And of course, it is probably some of both. Mm-hmm. But I addressed this very at length in the introduction, because I wanted to do this excavation, and I think, honestly, the country changed more than me. The politics changed. When Obama was president, the left was not funny. Obama was not funny. Good, great. The president was not a buffoon. Mm-hmm. And there was very little place to make fun of, you know? And then wokeism came along, which I go into length is not an extension of liberalism mostly. It started out as a noble thing, alert to injustice. We're all for that, or we should be. But then it veered off into some really weird areas, and they just took everything 10 subway stops too far. And so it gave, you know, first of all, comedians a lot to work with. You know, if you're going to say men can get pregnant, we're going to make jokes about it. You're going to leave an opening, okay? Right. So the left got funnier. I'm a comedian. I'm not going to leave that on the ground.
Right.
And they deserve to be fed up. Now, of course, I still think the right is the greater threat. They don't truly anymore believe in democracy. They seem to have this idea that elections only count when we win. Certainly the guy they threw their lot in with, Donald Trump, believes that. They've never been too good on climate change. They've always been too religious for me. I mean, they have their things too. But I think there's a lot in this book for everybody, because I think there's a lot wrong with everybody, with both sides.
Right.
And we have to be honest about it. And for the people who say, oh, you're more conservative than you used to be, I don't think so. That's what I look for. I don't think so. I think things change, and I just won't bend the knee and pretend that things, just because my team is doing it, aren't wrong. So I'm going to call it out. When you do goofy stuff, wherever you are on the spectrum, I'm going to call it out. So, you know, my theme in the book is, I'm tired of hating half the country. I don't want to hate half the country, and I don't hate half the country, and I think a lot of the country agrees.
Why do you think that so few people are willing to do that? Because it seems like so much of the incentive structure of the media right now is engineered to doing the opposite.
Because it's so much easier. Because a lot of the country is frustrated. Look, I don't blame people for being driven mad by Donald Trump. He does. He drives his own people kind of crazy. And then, of course, there is to every action, there is a reaction. So, like, how do you cover Donald Trump if you're a mainstream newspaper? He does lie. Newspapers never would say the president lied. How do you do that with a guy who plainly still has not conceded the 2020 election? How do you do that? It's pretty hard. But we are in this place now where we are entrenched. But I don't think it's the majority of the country, because so many people come up to me and say, I'm with you. I'm a normie. We're normies, okay?
Right.
We don't look at every single thing that happens and just reflexively go, damn Biden, he's ruined it again. He's ruined this pot store. No, he didn't. He's got his flaws and he's not perfect and blah, blah, blah. That's what I think most people want, to get back to normal. But those people don't have the megaphone. You're right. It's the people on the fringes, and they have just such an automatic built-in audience. People who want to hear what they already believe fed back to them. It's an echo chamber. Yes, that's exactly right. That's what I've been saying, and you thou said it, and I can agree with myself.
Right.
And that's just an easy place to go.
In terms of your process for putting these commentaries together,
right.
I know that's something you work on all week.
It takes
a lot. Can you walk us through your process?
I should be doing it right now, because it's Monday night. Monday night is when I start. I mean, it's a process of... It gets big and then it gets small. You have to like make it fat and then whittle it down until there is nothing left except what absolutely has to be there. That's true of any art. You know, a sculpture should have no extra clay, and a great song will have no extra notes, and a great editorial will have no extra words, but all the ones will count. And it has to drive toward a point, a point that nobody else is making or sometimes even thinking about. And then it's got to be funny. I mean, comedy is king. Anybody can get up there and pretend that any issue in the country, you know, is affecting them more than anybody else. No, it's not. We're all living very privileged lives in the media. But you want to make the audience laugh. It helps the medicine go down. And it helps, especially when I start an editorial one way and they're like, yeah, I agree with that. And then halfway through, sometimes it'll be like, hang on. There's another side to this, and you need to hear that too. So if you get the trust of the audience by making them laugh and saying the things that they agree with and that strike them as reasonable, then you can turn around and say something that maybe they hadn't considered, but you think they should consider.
I mean, and you were going back and forth with writers all week?
No, they all, I usually give them what the theme is, what they should write on before the weekend. They work on it probably over the weekend. And then I get it on Monday. Everybody does a pass. And I go through everybody's version of it and then do my own and put it all, stitch it all together. And, you know, being a good editor is really what a writer is.
Yeah.
You know, writing is rewriting.
You also are doing Club Random, this podcast that has just taken off. Congratulations
Thank
on
you.
That, where you have people at the extension to your home.
It's an extension of this place.
People
really
hang out, it's so fun.
Popped in.
Yeah.
And that show is completely the opposite of real time in the sense that it's not political. It's not intended to be political. And it's not something I work one second on except when I'm actually there. It's just what I would be doing here
right.
If this was a relaxed kind of night where I didn't have to work and I could smoke pot. I'd sit here with a friend and we would just shoot the whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever comes up. I have no agenda. I have no idea where I'm going to go with it. That show is completely produced, directed, and starring marijuana.
kind of like this place,
like
right?
Like this place.
Yeah.
And it's been a joy because there are so many people who are not really appropriate to do real time. Real time
right.
is a political show. I mean,
right.
you have to really know what's going on in the world.
Right.
And not everybody does. That doesn't mean they're dumb. It just means that's not where their interests are. And we want to put on the A-team for the audience. The audience who wants to hear that show wants to watch people who know what they're talking about. They mm-hmm. want to watch the pros. Well, that's not what most celebrities are and most people are. But I want to talk to Sammy Hagar or whoever
yeah.
was. You know, Jerry Seinfeld
Sammy
was there
Hagar.
Yesterday.
That oh, wow.
Great. Yeah.
How cool is that?
Great. I mean, that's a friendship of 45
right.
years. So, you know, whether I'm talking to somebody I've known forever and we're getting together in a way where we're always starting with, we should do this more often and this
yeah.
is a great reason to do it, or it's somebody who I've never met, then I think it just, either one is just a pleasure. It's a pleasure to get to know somebody and it's a pleasure to get to, like, hang with somebody I know real well.
And as a Californian, we're the California show. What do you make of, I know you've talked about your solar experience with the
yes.
shed, and what do you make the state of California, Governor Newsom, and sort of where we're at?
Well, it's a love-hate, you know, always has been. Wherever you live, it's a love-hate relationship. Name one place that's perfect. It always looks perfect from the outside.
Right.
You know, I am from the East Coast. I lived in New York twice. I mean, I've been very honest about my feelings about New York, and I've paid the price in the media because most of the media is based in New York, and they're very chauvinistic about their city. And unless you get on board with New York as the greatest city in the world, you're the
right.
enemy. And I think I really did pay a price. I don't care. I'm honest. That's my brand. And my honest feeling is I love California. I always have. I have issues with it. I mean, I wouldn't say we're undertaxed. And of course, you know, the regulations. I once wanted to cut down a tree in my yard. There's 100 just like it. You can't do that without, I'd get the approval of the Environmental Review Board, the city, the states, the Parks Department, the Fakawi
yeah.
Indian Tribe, the UN Security Council, and the 11 Berkeley students who
right.
are now living in the tree.
Right.
But, you know, all in all, I mean, I came out here and you just vibe with the city or you don't. And I never vibed with New York. I didn't like the weather. It's too cold in the winter, too muggy in the summer.
Yeah.
I don't like living in a building. I didn't get along with the girls. California, it's just it's my cup of tea.
I love it.
So, you know what? You say what you want about me, California or this state or whatever. Why does everybody live here? Everybody who can lives in this state. You'll be
yeah.
shocked at the people who you don't think live here. You know, you think, oh, Johnny Depp, sure, he's got a place in France.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't. I mean, he does, but he lives here.
Right.
Everybody lives here. Why does Jay-Z live here? He can live anywhere in the
yeah.
world.
Yeah.
He lives here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, there's something to it.
Two quick things before we wrap up. I know last week's commentary was about the students on campus and this
yeah.
activism here. What do you make of where that is going and what's happening at places like UCLA and USC?
I mean, somebody has to do a page one rewrite on elite education in this country because it just went completely off course. Obviously, if you have students who are siding with terrorists, I mean, it's and not just Hamas. I mean, obviously, the Israeli situation is complicated. I can see being sympathetic to the Palestinians. They do have a plight. I mean, they do have a story to tell. It's valid. we're not going to go into all that. But Hamas is a terrorist organization. The people who hate Hamas the most are the people who live under their rule, the Palestinians who live under their rule. So for the fact that for the students to be siding with them after they committed a massacre of 1,400 people, the most brutal massacre we've seen in, and then a few weeks later they started going through the old writings of Osama bin Laden. Most of these kids hadn't been alive when 9/11 happened. They were like, wow, this guy sounds good. He hates America. What's not to like about that? Now they're down with the Houthis and Hezbollah, which is the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. Do they have a clue what side they're putting themselves on? This is coming from somewhere, from their professors, from their colleges.
And from TikTok.
And from TikTok, yes, that's true. But it's certainly backed up by the people who should be instructing them better. They've got to look in the mirror.
And we wrap up with something real fun. This is 30 seconds rapid fire stuff of your cultural favorites.
Okay,
it's called Personal Issues.
I'm warning you, I'm always bad at rapid fire.
Okay, so take your time then. What Bob Costas, Harvey Levin say Real Time is their favorite TV show. What's your favorite TV show?
See, already I'm stumped. this one?
This one. The issue is, what's your favorite book of all time?
You know, I loved Heart of Darkness. I haven't read it since college. It's probably one you get canceled for liking now. In college, it was good.
Yeah. Favorite sports team, I think we know what that is, right?
Well, I was a part owner of
the Mets, right.
So I got to go with the Mets.
And who is your role model?
Again, see, I should have answers to these questions. I'm 68. I haven't thought about who my role model is. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I guess different people for different things. There are people I admire who I think are, like, I just looked at who's better than me at things. You know, like Obama. I couldn't do that. I couldn't get elected president. I certainly couldn't get elected as the first black president. Yeah. I mentioned Jerry Seinfeld, Jay Leno. They were like mentors to me when I started because they were a little older.
Yeah.
And like they always stayed exactly who they were. You know, they were never seduced by the great success they had, and they always were like more mature than me, certainly, and the other comics, and just led a life of exemplary behavior, which is not always something I can say about myself, and certainly most of the comics I know.
I will just say this in terms of you, honestly, are one of my role models.
Oh, I appreciate it.
You're one of the reasons that I got into this business.
Oh, thank you.
Our show is based off of, I'll just finish this nice moment and then we'll edit.
Don't interrupt this for crying out loud. This is the part we want to get
this
on
is
tape.
The 15
get
seconds.
Get out of here. Yeah. The man is talking. He has something important to say.
Yeah.
Shoo.
I'll just say this.
No, I appreciate
it. No, honestly, like, your show is one of the reasons, watching Politically Incorrect and watching Real Time is one of the reasons that I got into this business.
That's great.
When we launched the show, the issue is our set design was based off of Real Time. Our sound, our music was based off of Real Time. Oh. And I think what you do in trying to bring people together and talk about things and show both sides and have an actual conversation is so important.
Thank you.
And honestly, you've changed my life in such a big way, and I think have changed so many other people.
That is the nicest thing I've heard in a long time.
Honestly,
I really appreciate it. I know it's heartfelt.
Thank you from the bottom
sure
of my heart.
I'm sure we'll see each other in the future because I think you got a big future.
Thank you very much. That means a lot. Bill Maher, thanks so much for coming on The Issue Is. Thank you very much.
Our thanks to Bill Maher. That was really cool. And our thanks to you for listening. Happy anniversary to all of us. And for those of you that have been with us all 6 years, thank you. For those that are new, please like, subscribe, and tell people about us. We really appreciate it and can use all the help that we can get. Next week, we'll be talking to Emmanuel Acho about his new book about uncomfortable conversations with a Jew. Plus, we'll be heading out to the Milken Conference. Who knows who we'll talk to there. In the meantime, have a great week, and thanks for listening to The Issue Is.